every Mountain West Conference college football team coming through Las Vegas over the next 2 days as part of the conference's media day, which means college football season is nearly back, which therefore means it's time for the Rebel Room to make a return. I'm Case Kiefer alongside the experts Ray Brewer and Mike Romala, gearing up for year three of the Tony Sanchez era at UNLV. As far as expectations, I think it depends on who you talk to, which I don't think necessarily think is a bad thing. Much better than several years I've been here where everyone's just pessimistic. I think there's some reasons to be looking forward to this year, and there's some reasons to kind of pump the brakes. I'll go to you guys. You've been around since the spring, even since the end of last season, getting ready for this. What stands out to you going in to this season of UNLV football?
Well, the first thing that the most important thing for the program, if you're taking a long-term view and a short-term view, it's Armani Rogers. He's really the only answer. UNLV has waited. It's been a long time since they've had a player who has the potential to be this good and this impactful for the program. The fact that they're just going to give him the ball, name him the starter as a redshirt freshman and sort of see what he can do and put the program in his hands sort of speaks to what the coaches think of him and just the potential that he has. And I think the team is set up pretty well for him to walk in and have a pretty good year. So I think Armani Rogers is the answer there. He's the most important thing.
Ray, I know you've been beating the Armani Rogers drum even maybe before it was cool. You've been so high on the kid. Going into the season, are you as excited as you've been ever?
Yeah, you know, I think obviously he's an upgraded talent at that position, and it's twofold. One is the initial 2 years of Tony Sanchez. I mean, and arguably going all the way back to Jason Thomas in 1999, with the exception of that hot streak that Caleb Herring went on, right? UNLV has either A, had quarterbacks who were battling injuries, or B, or quarterbacks who just weren't that good. The lack of a deep ball, for example, historically has been a problem. And Armani Rogers not only has the skill set, the size, the ability to run and pass, which is key in the offense, but the kid could sling it. And we saw glimpses of that at spring practice. Sure, you know, he's 19 years old still. And sure, he's going to be a first-time starter who's going to make mistakes. And we need to accept that. But you could just see how smooth he is and how, like, it reminds me, for example, like Las Vegas 51s. You go out and they've got the Rosario kid, the shortstop, right? Best prospect in baseball. And you see how smooth the kid is fielding ground balls and taking BP and how he carries himself. And you get that same feeling looking at Rogers, who's just 19, and you think, oh, my God, what happens in 4 years if this kid hangs around and develops? And so I think the sky's the limit for the kid. And it's exciting because UNLV struggled to get a guy who could be a game changer under center.
And the thing that is with Rogers is that for someone who's a program savior type and everything is being all the expectations that are being put on his shoulders, he's stepping into a pretty good situation at UNLV and what they've built in the 2 years under Sanchez so far. This is a team that scored, 32 points a game last year with Johnny Stanton and Kurt Palandek and Dalton Snead and just really, you know, just sort of replacement-level quarterback play, and they were still a really good and effective offense most of the time. So it's not like Rogers has to come in and be the best version of himself right now. He can come in and make those freshman mistakes. He can be a freshman, and they're still going to have a really good offense. They're still going to have Charles Williams. They're still going to have Lexington Thomas. They're still going to have Devontae Boyd. They're still going to have maybe the best offensive line in the conference. Like they're set at pretty much everywhere around him. And the question is how much can Rogers' pure talent elevate the entire unit, which I think is pretty exciting for if you're a UNLV fan.
I think you bring up, and I'm sorry to cut you off, but you bring up a good point. They're going to be able to score, right? They got, you know, between Woods, Keys, and Boyd, three experienced receivers, right? Between Williams and Lex, two good running backs. Young, good, experienced offensive line. I think the whole season, yay, successful, nay, underachieve, is going to be on the defense. Could you make a tackle?
Yeah, wins and losses, it's the defense is going to have to come through. I mean, in the long-term big picture thing, Armani Rogers is the most important guy. But in terms of wins and losses this year, the difference between 7-5 and 4-8 is going to be the defense, and how many stops can they get in the fourth quarter? How many teams can they hold under 25 points? So that's the defense is going to have to step up. It's not. It wasn't a good unit last year. They've lost a lot of key pieces, so that's an ongoing question mark that we're going to have to follow as they get into training camp and then early in the season. The offense, I really have no concerns about.
Yeah, I'm totally on the same page with you guys. You basically took the words out of my mouth. I mean, there's some things you hear about Armani Rodgers that make you go, like, at least are red flags for me, like, oh, God, like, we can't put the expectations too high on this kid. Like, I know if you read the story, it's a little bit different, but just the headline of the Brewer story last week where Athlon is comparing him to Cam Newton, you're like, oh God, like, let's slow down and see what this kid can do first. But then you look at what they have back, and, I mean, this was an above-average offense, I think, in the nation last year, which is saying something for UNLV. I mean, they were great. They have, a line. I think it all starts at the offensive line, and those guys don't get enough credit, and they're going to be great there again. So I think they're fine on offense, even if Armani Rodgers struggles, like you said. But defensively, I've just got some real concerns. I mean, they were so bad on defense last year, and it looks like a lot of things are set up to take that next leap to get somewhere to where you were hoping, maybe a bowl game. But if the defense isn't better, there's no chance. And I don't really see trying to be reasonable, I don't really see any reasons why the defense will be better. I guess you're counting on some of these young kids to just, I know Tony's had great recruiting classes, maybe develops quicker than you would think, but otherwise, it just seems like this team's going to be in a lot of shootouts.
Well, let me ask you guys a question. Ray, maybe this is for you. You're very experienced in the Tony Sanchez business. If I'm telling you that you've got a team that has a potentially elite offense for your conference, a quarterback who could be really good, and a good coach, shouldn't you be able to hide the defense or help your defense out by playing, situational football, controlling the clock, managing, end of half, end of game situations, and just sort of limiting how often you expose your defense and the kind of situations you put them in? Can Tony Sanchez be that kind of coach? Can he steal them a couple wins just by coaching well and playing complementary football? And the offense, instead of being a 50-50 game, it's 60% offense and 40% on the defense. Can he do that? Is he a good enough coach to do that?
See, that's a great question. I don't think UNLV and its development, especially with, young players all over the offense, is in the let's control when we score. Could we control the clock a little bit? Yeah, but I still think they're at the point where they're going to have to play at pace to score points. And I think the league, to kind of answer your question indirectly, reminds me of the old WAC. Do you remember, like, in the Mountain West is virtually the old WAC, but do you remember when it would be like BYU versus Wyoming and Jim McMahon, and the finals would be like 55-48? I think we're going to see a lot of those ugly. I mean, even though it was an overtime game, case you were at that Wyoming game last year, right? 69-66 final. I think that there's same narrative as last year, right? There's maybe the Boise States or the San Diego States who are favored to win the league. And then there's eight other teams, with the exception of Reno and a first-year coach, who may be able to beat anybody on any given day. And, UNLV's defense is going to be key. Now, the scary part is the defense has been improved. It was from year one to year two, they improved in a lot of categories defensively, and they still were, giving up a lion's share in terms of yards and points and what have you. So I just don't know. It's going to be very interesting to see what kind of clock control they're going to have on offense, because
that's sort of not so much just time of possession, but clock. Like, there's a difference between scoring with 3 minutes left on the clock in the first half and scoring with 45 seconds left on the clock. Like, is the offense that good? Will Sanchez have enough command? Does he trust Armani Rodgers enough to, hey, we're pretty confident we can score a touchdown here, but let's bleed a couple of minutes off the clock before we do it to protect our defense? And that may be the difference between a win and a loss at some point this year. And that's like when your defense here, if the defense is as bad as it could be, then that's what you have to rely on. And that's when you're asking your coach and your offense to sort of pull out games like that, you're really asking the team to thread the needle. And that's sort of the question, is can they do that? Are they there yet? Or is that sort of like next year and you need Rodgers to get another year before he can do stuff like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're going to be in a lot of coin flip games. It reminds me, and Case and I kind of were here for this, but Tony's first year at Gorman, they had a quarterback, Anu Solomon, who went on to do good things at Arizona. He's now at Baylor. And Solomon came in, he started right away as a freshman. And, you know, Tony had the playbook, you know, very limited with him. And then as the kid progressed and each year he was able to expand it to where the kid was an All-American. And I see Rodgers kind of taking that same path. You know, unfortunately, UNLV doesn't have Durango and Clark on its schedule to where its defense can make mistakes. If you look at their schedule.
They do have Howard in Hawaii.
Yeah, well, Hawaii's going to be improved, though.
I know. Yeah. I was reaching for the second one, but they do have Howard, which I think would be equal to Durango or Clark.
You bring up a good point. You look at the schedule. Okay, they're going to lose at Ohio State, right?
Yes.
Okay, and then are there any other games where you're like, okay, this is going to be a problem spot?
I mean, they could pull an upset, but I would say – I know you hate numbers. I won't even mention this. I will just say, looking at the schedule, I think you could pull an upset on one of these two games, but BYU and San Diego State is very unlikely. They're probably going to lose those games. Not on the level of Ohio State. Not that they have like a 0.01% chance, but if you play those games 10 times, they're probably only winning two of them.
But, I mean, I think when we've done this game in prior seasons, we were like, okay, they ain't going to win this game. Okay, they're not going to win this game. I mean, listen, the BYU game is here at home, which I get it. It'll be home game for BYU. But it's not like BYU's rolling right now, right?
Like I said, I mean, they're still probably a two-touchdown underdog.
No way.
Yes, definitely.
Pull up the Golden Nugget lines.
Nugget doesn't have any UNLV games listed, but I'm looking at a forecasted line 15.5.
At home?
Against BYU, yes.
Does that seem out of whack to you? It doesn't. That seems like what I around in that range.
A two touchdown dog at home to BYU.
I mean, maybe not to a Mountain West.
Who doesn't have a quarter? They have no quarterback coming in. I mean, they don't have a returning quarterback.
They played a freshman a lot of last year.
Oh, they didn't play.
He got hurt, but
hurt.
No, he started, then the freshman came in, then he got hurt. I mean,
I just don't see. I mean, I'm not high.
Every year we do this, and you get fired up about some game, and every year they end up losing. I will tell you right now. I will tell you right now.
Howard at home, W. UNLV at Idaho. They lost last year at home. There's no way they're overlooking at them. W. Week off to go to Columbus. Loss. San Jose State at home. 3-1. Game of the year before you go to Reno. San Diego State in your yard. You're gonna be 4-1 3-1 going into the SDSU game at your place. What are they gonna be, a 38-point dog at home that night?
14.5 is what I have projected for that game. I think that's a good place to stop though. As far as expectations, this is what I wanted to talk about. I think it is so imperative, and Brewer's probably wearing UNLV socks right now. The biggest Rebel homer ever. But it is so important that they start 3-1, and it is far from a sure thing that they win at Idaho and versus San Jose State. I mean, both those games they should win. If you're improved, if you're going to do this thing this year, I think you need to be 3-1. But I think it's about a coin flip. I'm definitely not
what's
just looking at the schedule and saying they win both of those.
What's your little computer stat number cruncher thing say about the Idaho game?
Says they lose at Idaho, win San Jose State.
What's the line in the Idaho game?
2.
Coin flip.
Yeah, that's what I said. They're
clock
coin flips.
Control. Right, Kermala? Say it 3 times.
You gotta find a way to win it. That's my question. If you get those coin toss games.
It's the Kibbe Dome, right?
Yeah, I just think – I think you start –
I've heard it's a tough place to play. I've never been there. Heard it's a very difficult place to play.
Okay.
I mean, I think you start 3-1 and you are ecstatic. You are in position to do everything you need to do. I mean, I guess going back a little bit, expectation-wise, bigger picture, I mean, is it bowl game or bust this year? Because then if you start 3-1, you can go, 3-5 the rest of the way, and you're in a bowl game. I think
that's a great question for Tony at the media days. Is this the year where you got to win?
I think bowl game – I don't know if it's bowl game or bust. It's bowl game is a – bowl game is what would make a successful season. Anything less than that, and you're sort of – you can't point to this as improvement or –
Well, yeah, but they went from 3 to 4. Say they win 5.
I don't think that's really a jump. I don't think going from, you know, 3 wins to 5 wins is a jump. I think going from like 3 wins to a bowl game is.
Well, they're going from 3 to 4 to 5.
Yeah, but I don't think if you're improving your win total by 1 win a year, going from 2 to 3 to 4 to 5, that's 5 year. That's like a 5 year plan to get into a bowl game. Is that enough progress? I mean, that's very incremental progress, and that's I mean, that's almost to the point where it's negligible.
I'm not speaking for me here. I think Tony Sanchez needs a little more time. I think he's the right guy, can do this. But you know, you guys have been around UNLV fans even more than me. If they win 5 games this year, do you think the fan base is going to be happy with that? Because I certainly don't. I think they're going to be really restless. I already feel like they're restless this year, which makes sense of how badly last year ended. I don't think 5, to me, 5 isn't a success. 5 is like, eh. A UNLV season, they're below 500 again.
I mean, you have to remember, when Tony came, in 8 of the 10 prior seasons, they were a 2-win team.
They were a bowl game 2 years prior, though.
I understand that was one of those other seasons.
And this was supposed to be the new era, a change, everything's going to be different.
Hey, Rome wasn't built in a day, man. You just don't come out there with the hardware.
Rome got pretty good in 4 years, I bet. Four years is a long time.
They weren't building one amphitheater per year. You know, they're making some major developments.
Listen, they've underachieved. They've struggled at the end of seasons in Tony's initial 2 years, and a lot of that is in terms of your depth chart, right? Some guys were falling out. You were having to play kids early. You didn't want to burn Rodgers' red shirt last year. You were going with Snead. Mm-hmm. So are they better equipped this year when the first domino falls down? Remember, wide receivers, they were starting a kid that was like 5'7" last year, right?
I don't know if they were are you talking about
Huey or whatever?
Huey, yeah. It wasn't starting him, but he got on the field for a few plays. I think he may have started one of the last
– I mean, Keys went down, Woods went down. You bring those guys in. And speaking of – have you seen Keys – or was it Woods? One of those two guys looks like – they are a Calvin Klein model. Just muscles going out of every thing.
Even Brandon Presley, who got hurt early last year, he looked really good in the spring camp, and he was sort of the guy that was turning heads there. So, I mean, you're talking about 3-4 like legitimate receivers, which is 3 or 4 more than they had by the end of last year.
And when you're talking about the poor quarterback play, I mean, you're throwing whomever, Palandek, who Tony loves like a son, right? Never says anything bad. You're throwing Paladek in, and you're making him throw passes to Snead, who moved the wide receiver. You know, so interesting to see how they hold up healthy. If they're healthy coming down the home stretch, when you're going, you close at New Mexico and at Reno, which, according to the numbers, right, it's, you know, you're going to win 5 games. You're going to have to
win. 2 more coin flips, though. You would probably expect to go 1-1 just on paper.
Yeah, but you got to win one of those games possibly to extend your season. You know, because your last home game is the BYU game. So, I don't know. In terms of schedules, I mean, this is pretty favorable. You could be 3-1. At Air Force is always a winnable game. Utah State at home, you're probably going to lose, but it's at home. At Fresno, they've beaten Fresno twice already. Hawaii here, a dub. BYU, you lose by 15. At New Mexico will be the quickest game in the history of college football because neither team will pass. And then you go get your cannon back after you eat turkey dinner.
So what is that? I wasn't keeping track. Is that like 8-4? Where do you have them now?
Yeah.
9-3?
Do you think they get a BCS at large?
I really do think if we went game by game, which we've done in the past, Brewer would be at 8-4. And I think last year he was like 9-3. So that shows you something. But I will say this. We might disagree on like some of the specifics. I think certainly a lot of those games are going to win some, lose some. But I think your larger point that the schedule is manageable is a good one. I mean, this is not a schedule you're going to look at and cower in fear. I see three losses for sure and a bunch of other games that one you're going to win for sure and a bunch of other that are in.
Who are your three losses? OSU, the Buckeyes, the Aztecs, and the Cougs?
Yes, and Utah State is a – I mean, probably not going to win that game, but I don't disagree. I think that it's more – I think it would be a good thing if you win one of those three. I know they're at home, so you want to win all your home games, but BYU, Utah State, and San Diego State, I think if you go 1-2 there, that's real progress because those programs are all way ahead of where you are right now.
To me, a successful season is winning the game on November 25th.
All right. Well, there's some concern when you put your whole season around that, as we saw last year.
It didn't work out quite well.
I do think that they're 5-6 going into that game. Just for that, I think that would be the most obviously the most entertaining.
For me, they're 4-1, 4-5. They're either because for me, realistically, Howard dub, Idaho dub, San Jose State dub, Fresno dub, Hawaii dub, and then you got two cracks at it with New Mexico and Reno.
Well, there you have it. I think it's going to be a great year. Really going to be interesting to pay attention to. Like we said, offensively strong, defensively some question marks. Schedule favorable. We're going to talk to the players, Tony Sanchez, this week. We'll get a better feel for how UNLV is going. And you can expect us every Monday here going forward on the Rebel Room. For Ray Brewer and Mike Romala, I'm Case Kiefer. Thanks for listening.